You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Browns fans, OBM Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, who have all the X's and O's for your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com today. Lots going on, obviously, in the world of the National Football League. Update, Stephen Ridley, the running back formerly of the Patriots, making his visits around the AFC East. Met with the Dolphins. He's apparently on his way to go meet now with the New York Jets. I think he's a good runner.
Yeah.
I liked him, obviously, coming off an injury. We'll see what he can do.
And also, too, before we move any further, just some NFL League news that came out yesterday is Matt Schaub signing with the Baltimore Ravens.
Solid backup. They said that his arm, he had some injuries that hurt his arm strength last year in Oakland, but he's apparently better. Got him at a very, very cheap price.
Hopefully, $2 million a year.
Yeah.
No
nothing.
Bonus.
Nothing.
That's nothing for a quarterback. And also, too, I think the one thing to reassure for any Browns fan who might have been in doubt about Matt Schaub coming here as opposed to Josh McCown or putting him in play for some reason is you have to understand that John DeFilippo, the Browns offensive coordinator, got to coach this guy, see him up close and personal for 1 year. And so the executive decision was that we didn't like him enough to bring him in to serve any purpose here on the Browns roster.
And he will be with the Ravens backing up Joe Flacco. 216-578-0850. We'll go to the phone lines now. We've got Mike in Northern California, where I just was. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Nathan and Matt. Really enjoying the show.
Thank you,
thank
bud.
You.
You know, I'm from Cleveland originally. Left when I was 12. I remember my father on his hands and knees, 6 inches from the television screen, screaming over the Frank Ryan and Leroy Kelly and all that stuff. And he goes back to Otto Graham and all that. Anyways, I love what the Browns are doing. I think patience is what's happening here, and it's hard for fans to swallow it. But they're doing what the Patriots have done. They're planning. They're watching close. And I just love what's going on. I love watching them win or lose. It hurts to lose, but that's life. And what I want us to ask you guys,
yep,
what's more important, playmakers or execution? And I think when you have experienced players, execution happens better than a newer guy. And that's what seems to me to be the important thing. When you can execute like the way Hoyer hit Austin, you know, and Benjamin in the end zone, I mean, that's the important part. Playmakers are great. And also, I'm looking forward. They're saving their money. I'm thinking they're looking at Cardale Jones or somebody like that. I think they're doing a good job planning. Thank you.
I think they're doing a good job planning, too. I think the truth is you need both playmakers and execution. When you have absolute flawless execution like a Tom Brady, you can turn guys like Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell into stars.
Brandon Stokely with Peyton Manning.
Right. You know? That doesn't happen all the time, and right now the Browns have neither had playmakers nor execution. 2 years ago, you had Josh Gordon as a playmaker, and you saw what it did. You saw the dynamic. Now, did it lead to wins? No, but the defense wasn't up to par. Certainly the pass defense wasn't. You need both of those things. But if you said, could we do something, you know, at a level 8, but we execute it 95% of the time, I'd rather have that than somebody that could be at a level 10 and executes 50% of the time. You know, you just do the math. You need to have both.
Sure.
Ideally, you want execution and you want extreme talent.
Oh, you definitely do. And I think also, and that's where when you look at free agency, and I know that, you know, some Browns fans that have called up has said, you know, well, we're getting guys, you know, almost at 30 and or over 30. But the one thing that we understand about these guys is they're professionals. You know, Randy Starks has signed multiple contracts in his career. Dwayne Bowe has signed a significant second contract. He's now on his third. Tremont Williams signed a huge second contract, now on his third. Brian Hartline signed a huge extension with the Miami Dolphins. Didn't get to see that out. So my whole point is they have that experience that we're talking about. They know what it's like to execute at a high level. And I think for all of them, a change of scenery is going to help, and they're going to be built as focal points for this Cleveland offense and or defense. And so execution, the way you practice, and being a pro will trickle down into this young football team as we get 20 to 22-year-olds in the next 30 days via the draft. To teach them how to be a pro, teach them to execute at a higher percentage of the time. Therefore, they can actually be of value to the Browns organization on Sundays.
216-578-0850, Zagura and Wilhelm. We got Terry in Strongsville. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
Terry. Hey, Listen, I just wanted to say that I want to give a shout out to Ray Farmer. I'm a big fan.
Awesome.
And I love what he's doing. I love his philosophy. I disagree with most of the nonsense that's being talked about as far as he's concerned.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to be intimidated into some kind of foolish move. He's going to build a team, and I love it. But I wanted to ask you guys what we should do to avoid the Mac scenario. I've never seen a situation where one injury was so devastating to a whole season. And how should they handle it? How should they get the depth? Who should they pick in the draft? I'd like to hear what you guys think about that.
So what I think happened is something like that can be that devastating when you do not have competent quarterback play. And I think that you saw once teams realized that they could stop the run and all the Browns could do was throw the football off of play action, it became very easy to stop our team. Alex Mack is certainly important. What you do is you get better quarterback play. The running back should be better. The line's better. You have to find a better backup solution to Alex Mack, and I think you could see that in the draft this year. I remember Pouncey got knocked out for the Steelers, and it hurt them for a little bit, but they were able to rebound. Why? Because they had Ben Roethlisberger, and a good quarterback can make up for a lot of ills, but when you don't have a quarterback that can complete passes when everybody else knows you're passing the football, it becomes very easy to stop it. Teams can stop the run. I mean, if you were a defense and your only goal was to stop the run, you can stop the run.
Oh, absolutely. And I think also, too, that's where, you know, we won't talk about the top, you know, 1% of quarterbacks, but a top 15 quarterback in the National Football League is a top 15 quarterback in the league for a reason. The fact that he can overcome, whether it's missing his top wide receiver for a week, a game, a quarter, or, you know, a month of the football season, but still find his other assets and grow them in that position, or a good offense or a good quarterback can take, you know, the responsibility to move the chains, even though the ability to run the football is not like it was because you're missing your top running back, in this case, your top center. Those top quarterbacks can do that, and that's what we're in search of. You know, the guy that can overcome, you know, the shortcomings of one player or the shortcomings of or short wide receivers, a guy that can overcome that or an inability to run the football, then that guy, the best in the league, those guys that make $15 to $25 million a year, go put it on me. I'll be fine.
And that's what you're looking for.
Yes.
And that's what the Browns continue to search for.
They don't grow on trees.
No, they do not grow on trees. Unfortunately, it'd be great. I'd like to go pick one of those quarterbacks for the Browns right now. Hopefully it's Johnny Manziel, but that certainly remains to be seen. Scott in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome back, Nathan.
Thank you.
This is my favorite show on the ESPN Cleveland daytime. So
Thank you, bro.
Hey, I've heard you guys. I know it's April 1st. It's kind of the official golf kickoff to golf season for a lot of the courses in town.
I wish.
Yes, it is.
I know you guys have talked about enjoying playing. We'd just love to hear, you know, maybe what's your favorite track in town, both public and private, and maybe one that you haven't got to play in town that you're looking forward to this spring or summer.
Scott, great question. Well, let's start to turn around on you. What's your favorite track in town?
I get to play a lot of my golf at Sharon Golf Club, which is really awesome.
Which I've heard is unbelievable.
And then favorite public one is Pine Hills, which I think is country club quality.
Where's that?
It's in Hinckley. Off of 130th, really, really great, public track.
Pine Hills. How far would that be from, like, the city of Cleveland?
20 minutes.
Oh, so not far at all.
Basically North Relton.
Okay.
North Relton, Strongsville area.
Okay. Okay.
Not bad.
Pine Hills, not bad. I never even heard of that. So
oh,
I like
man.
That. Put it on
phenomenal
our list.
Track.
Okay. All right. So for me, my favorite public track in town is Boulder Creek. I think Boulder Creek is.
Right off the turnpike, correct?
Yeah. An unbelievable course.
I've never played it.
It is a.
I haven't played a lot of golf in Northeast Ohio, to be honest.
It's a legit test.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it clown golf?
No, it's just good, straightforward, awesome golf.
Sweet.
If it was a country club, or it would be regarded, you know, very highly.
Sure.
It could have big time events there.
Awesome.
From the tips, it's like 7,500 yards.
What? That's crazy.
It's legit.
You got a bomb.
The par fives. Only one of the par fives is reachable in two, maybe two of them. But I mean, you've got to like
crank.
Yeah. I mean, they're all about 600 yards. So it's tough. Some of the best.
I don't
par
play
four,
the tip. I don't. I'm just going to put it out there.
I'm talking
I do
about
not
from
play
the blues.
Tips.
I'm not even talking about from the tips.
Right.
We don't play tips out there. The number nine is like 460 par four, second shot all over water. It's a sweet track. You've got to
drive a five iron.
If you're not playing well, I mean, you've got to bring it. To me, right. I've gone there. The best I've ever shot there is one under, and I thought it was the best round
from
of golf I've ever
played. From the blues
or
the tips?
From the blues, which is about 7,000 yards.
Whew.
And I thought it was one of the best rounds of golf I've ever played. There aren't really any easy holes.
You know, I'm not nearly as good of a golfer as you are. Okay, I'm probably a 20, maybe a 23.
Okay.
Right? A 25 when I don't play a lot, and I can get into about an 18 when I play a lot, maybe 17. Okay. I play because it's fun. I play because it's a challenge and it's sport. It's outside. I enjoy taking my son. But you know what? There is nothing better, whether I'm playing good or playing bad. And as much as you want to play good, I just love a great golf course. Like, even sometimes when we went to Disney with my daughter last year down in Orlando, and it's like, you know, out of both windows, you're looking at golf. You know, we're on the Disney properties. You're seeing these amazing, you know, Arnold Palmer golf courses.
Sure.
And it's like, I just get enamored with looking at a golf course because I just think it's something of beauty.
I love golf courses. So, yeah, I'd say Boulder. My favorite private course that I played in Cleveland, probably Country, the Country Club, I think is a really good track. It's a beautiful piece of land.
I need to get out east and play.
Yeah, so what's your favorite place to play?
My favorite place, there's a place, you know, 10 minutes from my house, Hilliard Lakes is a nice. It's in Westlake. I played there a few times. I want to say the other one is Sweetbriar, Legacy Sweetbriar in Avon. Or Avon Lake, whatever it is.
Okay.
It's a nice course. I know ESPN Cleveland does some partnerships with them. They do, I think it's Steaks and Stogies there. But it's a nice course that's probably the best public course that I'll play because I'm a West Sider.
Have you played the Quarry?
I have played the Quarry.
That's pretty cool. Seeing off of the cliffs.
Yeah, the Quarry's good. Yeah, the Quarry's good.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've played 80% of my golf in California.
Okay.
So I don't play that much here.
You should.
But I will.
Yeah, you've got to.
I will.
You've got to. All right, let's go to Andy.
We will. What am I saying? We will.
That's right. Yes, we will. Andy in North Carolina, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, buddy. I really thank you for taking my call.
You got it, man. Thanks for calling.
Obviously, I'm way far away from you. Just a little quick history. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, my daddy was transferred to Cleveland, and that was my upbringing on football.
Okay.
I had one of those orange and brown knit hats with the ball on top, little yarn ball that stuck up. That was where I began from. Obviously, now I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. I've been down here in North Carolina for about 35 years or so.
Uh-huh.
But I do not understand the competitive advantage that the Cleveland Browns got by the GM texting the sidelines. I don't get it. If Jerry Jones can be on the sidelines grabbing his coach by the collar or talking to his players, I don't think he's whispering them sweet nothings or saying, hey, come over for dinner tonight. He's obviously talking to them about football matters. So is the NFL just not with the 2015 year that, hey, we text rather than walk? I don't get it.
So I'm not – the league, by the way, said that they didn't feel a competitive advantage was gained, but that it did violate the letter of the law, which is why the penalty, while it was harsh, didn't involve draft picks for the Browns. Because
it didn't involve a draft pick, but, I mean, $250,000 – if you're a billionaire, I guess that's no big deal. But your GM is out for, what, 4 weeks?
4 weeks. No, it's a severe penalty, and they said it would be severe. They did not, as I said, take draft picks or anything like that. But, yes, it is a severe penalty, and it is something that the Browns are going to have to deal with going forward, and it's going to be tough. It was just a violation of the rules, and, you know, it was found that it was Ray Farmer acting alone, that nobody else on the team really knew about it and knew what was going on. And now, you know, he paid the price and they did a thorough investigation. That's what happened. I think ultimately if you're the Browns, you're happy with the penalty. It's more of a personal penalty, I think, for Ray Farmer. If you're the Browns, you're happy. No draft picks, no competitive disadvantage came as a result of it because no competitive advantage was gained as a result of it. So I thought that was ultimately a good outcome for the Browns. All right, when we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls. You guys are lighting up the lines, 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.